What a privilege it is to share God's Word with God's best. Last week, I started a series of teachings on the manifestations of Holy Spirit. We just don't realize what we have with Christ within. You know, we read and read and reread God's Word that's loaded with information on who we are in Christ. And it just gets bigger and better each time we look at it. We have 9 manifestations of the Spirit. I know some people call them gifts, and that they may share that some folks have certain gifts of the Spirit. But God gives everybody the same thing, that Holy Spirit. And there are 9 manifestations to it. These are working resources or tools that we have within this magnificent gift of Holy Spirit. Now, my goal is to introduce you to these 9 manifestations, share briefly about them. I could easily teach many hours on just one. But I do want to give you an awareness and an exposure to them. And hopefully enough so that you will start exercising them and grow more and more in your learning on how to use them. Now, the first manifestation listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I shared last Sunday, is the manifestation of wisdom. We looked at that. We looked at the manifestation of knowledge. Many times they go hand in hand. This is God communicating to us. When people say, hey, I heard a word from the Lord, or God told me to do this. This is God utilizing this word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to communicate with us. We all have that phone line to our Heavenly Father. And nobody has a bigger phone line than anybody else. God can talk to you, and He does. I think we just don't hear Him very much. So, well, today I want to share on another manifestation, and that's discerning of spirits. And to do this, I need to first share with you the 2 great spiritual forces. So go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, in your Bibles. One of the most important realities the born-again believer needs to recognize is that there are 2 great spiritual forces in this world. Number one is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's God Almighty. That's our Heavenly Father. What a dad. He is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Now, the other spiritual force we can look at in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the other spiritual force that we need to be aware of. Chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. Here we have Satan, the devil. He's called the God of this world, and his goal is to blind people's minds so they don't see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. So we've got 2 spiritual forces we need to be aware of. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6. And this definitely spells out the battle that we're dealing with these 2 spiritual forces. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's the warfare that's going on right now. That's the big problem. It's not pandemics, a lot of other things that we see and hear and get involved with, but the most important battle going on right now is against the believers and the devil. You see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities, these powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, God has given us the tool that allows us to recognize devil spirits and successfully deal with them. The power that we have within this gift of Holy Spirit gives us this opportunity to know things, the spiritual battle that's going on. So the purpose of my teaching this morning is twofold. We're going to talk about the manifestation of discerning of spirits, but probably more I'm going to share with you is this devil spirit world, so that we can know what we're dealing with. Okay? So first, well, how did Satan or the devil become? How did he get started? Where did he come from? Satan and his devil spirit followers originally were angels in heaven. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Satan used to be called Lucifer. And we'll see this in chapter 14 of Isaiah. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So at one time, the devil, Satan, was called Lucifer. And he was actually second in charge behind God Almighty. Look in Revelations. If you look at chapter 12, we'll see a little bit more what happened in heaven to see where Satan ended up. And there appeared, verse 3 in chapter 12 of Revelations, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, there's a lot of figures of speech in Revelations, but I think we can see here, this is talking about Satan, the devil, Lucifer, and he's taking a third of the angels and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, we're familiar with when Jesus Christ was born in his early, very early age, they had Mary and Joseph, and Jesus had to get out of town. God told them to go into Egypt, and he gave them the resources that they received from the Magi, the gifts that were given to them, so that they could travel to Egypt and get away from the land, because the king was killing all the children 2 years and under. But what caused that? Well, we're looking at it right here. And there was war in heaven, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, that third of the angels. So that's what happened. That's where we get the devil and these devil spirits. They were cast out of heaven, and now they're on earth, and their goal is to deceive the whole world. Now, in Genesis 3:1, Satan shows up to thwart and the battle against God's plan, doesn't he? We're all familiar with the serpent, right? And they deceived Adam and Eve to do the one thing that God told them not to do. But he tricks them into doing it, where they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, God had told them if they ate of that tree, the fruit of that tree, in that day that they eat it, they should surely die. Well, Adam and Eve didn't die that day. They physically lived on for hundreds of years. But what died? And what died was the spirit connection that God had put into Adam and Eve so that they could fellowship. Thankfully, God moved to regain that spiritual connection by paying the ultimate price through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he paid the ultimate price so that man could once again be filled with Holy Spirit. Now man has the Holy Spirit, which is now eternal. The devil was defeated. No more could he stop God's plans. The only thing the devil could do now was to deceive man, to trick him into believing less of who he is. We have the victory in Christ. The devil, Satan, he is the loser. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that resurrection sealed Satan's death. And we have Christ in us. God's word says that he is under our feet. He's under the feet of Jesus Christ. And we have Christ in us, and he's under our feet as well. He is now our opposition. He is still out to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, he's defeated, but he doesn't give up. He hasn't stopped. In light of that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual powers, we got to know who we're dealing with. Who is our opposition? What is his goals and purposes? And how can we deal with him? How can we continue to defeat him? So we're going to do a scouting report. When I was in college, I played basketball. And before the next game, the coaches would go and watch the opposing team that we were going to play. They would go scout them and get all the information they could about them. And they not only did that, they hired professional scouts to go watch them play in other games. And we would have this extensive scouting report of who these guys were. They would tell us who the players were, describe them, their skills, their weaknesses. And then they would share with us how the team functioned, their methods of how they played the game. Did they do full court press? Did they play man-for-man defense? You know, how did they play the game? And then, most important, we would learn how we could defeat them, use our strengths against their weaknesses. So we're doing a spiritual scouting report. Number one, we got to know who he is. Who is this devil? And God has provided different names that the devil has that describes his nature. Now, when we see the word devil, that signifies the top god. He used to be Lucifer. The devil is the bad guy. He is the one that is the deceiver. Now, Satan, when we use the word Satan, it is used as he works indirectly within the senses realm to do his thing, you know, to mess up the believers. So he slyly does this with his methods to thwart the believer's life. Now there's another term, serpent, and we saw that in Genesis 3:1, and that describes how crafty he is, how he manipulates and sneaks in with half-truths to get people to believe him. The tempter is another term used for the devil. We know what a tempter is. He's one who tempts and lures other people. And we see him function like this all the time, where he tempts people. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? He said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. You know, that's quite a temptation. He's talking to the Son of God and said, yeah, you are the Son of God. Well, how did Jesus handle that temptation? With the Word of God, it is written. You know, another term for the devil is accuser, where he slanders the believers. He defames them. He scandalizes them. He makes us feel guilty and in condemnation. This is a huge problem with believers today, because the devil gets us to think less than who we really are. He puts us into condemnation. He makes us think about all the bad things that we have done. We've got to remember we have forgiveness each and every day. God loves us. He takes care of us. So when we are accused of the devil, we've got to see where it's coming from. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So these are these different names. There's other titles that we can look at too. But I want to share with you his goals and methods of operation. His main goal was to be like the Most High, to receive worship. But what did Jesus do when he was tempted? You know, what did the devil want Jesus to do with the temptation that he was confronted with, that Jesus was confronted with, that he would have control over the whole world? Well, he wanted worship, and he wanted Jesus to worship him. So this is the main thing that the devil wants. He wants to be worshipped. Now, some other things. Now, really, since he really can't be God, he hinders the motives and interrupts the purposes of God. He tried to kill the promised seed. All throughout the Old Testament, you see records upon records where the devil tried to kill the promised seed for the Christ line. And when that didn't work, he tried to kill Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the devil became an eternal loser. But he tricks, he deceives, he tries to get the believer to think negative things about themselves and others, so he makes snares to trap the believers. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, have low self-esteem because of his actions. They run away rather than take a stand. He steals the believer's identity, makes them feel inadequate, not worthy. But if we know God's word, this is not true. It's a lie. So how can we defeat him? How can we deal with him each and every day? So I want to share something in Luke 10:17, and this is the story with Jesus where he gave the 70 disciples to go out and minister, to heal, and he sent them out, and he put spirit upon them so that they could do a great job. And they returned with joy, if you remember, right? They returned with joy. They said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through the name of Jesus Christ, those devils are subject to them. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee has to bow. They have to go. Jesus put the Spirit on them and sent them out to be successful with this. Now, Colossians 2:15 talks about that Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we have the victory. We have Christ in us. We are dealing with a defeated foe. So we need to recognize that. Recognize he is already defeated. That's number one, how we deal with the devil. Recognize he's already defeated, so he can do all his huffing and puffing and roaring like a lion. I love that song, how we deal with the lion. He just roars. He can't do anything to us if we walk using the name of Jesus Christ. Well, he tries to trick people. So So they will not do what God's told them to do. But remember, he is the great liar. All those temptations, those accusations, they are lies. You have the name of Jesus Christ that has defeated him. You are over him. Now, number two in dealing with the adversary is using the manifestation of discerning of spirits. Now, I know I haven't really spent too much time on this manifestation, but it's pretty basic, pretty simple. With this manifestation of discerning of spirits, God can tell you of the presence of good or bad spirits. He can let you know if that person is born again, or if that person has a devil spirit in them, or that there's no spirit at all. They're just an empty floating by in life. That's using the manifestation of discerning of spirits. And of course, then with word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you can deal with the situation after he reveals that to you about the presence of spirits or not. You know, we have something we do in our fellowship here in San Diego. We call it Agape Now. Every Saturday morning we go to Old Town. There's a large transportation center there where the buses and the trolleys and the trains come in and out. So a lot of people are moving in and out of that area. And we simply offer water and prayer and healing. And invariably, we have the privilege to pray for people, see them get delivered. It's pretty exciting. But sometimes, and this is happens quite a bit actually, we get some strange folks approaching us. There's quite a few homeless folks down there. And we'll get people just yelling and screaming at us. Now, the first thing we might think of, well, that guy is possessed by the devil. Let's just get him out of here. Well, first thing you want to do when you have a situation confront you, and this is what we do, we don't react, but we go to the Father and say, Dad, what do we do in this situation? How do I handle this? What's going on here? God can tell us. Maybe there he is loaded with devil spirits. But you know what? He could get delivered. And maybe that's his time for us to deliver that person. Sometimes it's not available. And God can let us know what we need to do. And we've had several times where we've had to cast that person out in the name of Jesus Christ. And they go every time. And we get some stubborn spirits sometimes. They don't want to go, but we take a stand because the name of Jesus Christ is bigger than any devil spirit. No power is greater than Jesus Christ. So we take a stand. We believe that. So that's how we use these manifestations to function in our life. So I want to go to Ephesians 6:10, because this is another great method by which we deal with the adversary. In Ephesians 6:10, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. You know, this follows the record here in light of we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, verse 10, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, believing wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all of them, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always. Verse 18, I love this. Because once you got all that armor on, what do? You pray. Pray praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is operating the manifestation of speaking in tongues. So we pray in the Spirit, and we watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Man, we take care of each other. And the best way I know to take care of each other is to speak in tongues for each other. Well, there is so much that could be shared on this subject, the spiritual battle that we have with the devil. But I trust what I've shared with you today will be sufficient enough for you to get started or to move on so that you can be victorious in your walk. So I'm going to do a quick review here. I know I've shared quite a bit of different things here. So let's do a quick review. Two great spiritual forces, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil, God's arch enemy, who tries to thwart his plans. The purpose of my sharing this is to learn about our enemy, the devil, and his spiritual world, as well as, number two, to learn a little bit about the manifestation of discerning spirits. We saw a brief history of the devil, how he started. Remember, he was second in command, used to be called Lucifer. But he took a third of the angels and rebelled against God. God defeated him with the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and made him a loser. The devil is a loser. We learned that the devil is our opposition, that he has certain goals and purposes, but we've learned how to deal with him. We did a scouting report. We learned who the devil was by his various names. We learned about his methods and how he attacks. He desires worship. He knows he cannot be God, so he interrupts the purposes of God. He tricks and deceives the believers so they don't believe who they are in Christ, that the devil is under their feet. He is under our feet, but he tries to talk us out of that. We also learn how we defeat him, and that we use the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We recognize he's already defeated. We use the manifestation of discerning of spirits to recognize if there are devil spirits present in a person, or if he's born again, or if he's an empty. And we put on the whole armor of God. And then what do? We stand. We stand. We pray in the Spirit. But we take that stand on who we are in Christ. Well, I trust this will help you deal with dealing with the adversary so that you can walk victorious in your life. Sure love you, and thank you for being a part of this fellowship, and looking forward to being with you in the future here as we move on and learn the things of God and take a stand for Him.
Man, wow. Such a great reminder. Boy, all the strength and power, energy we received when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We're kind of in that waiting period now where Pentecost is coming, where the gift of Holy Spirit was given out. But those things really changed people's lives. Boy, Bob, thank you so much for that great topic, opening our awareness and remembering that the name of Jesus is above every name. That is our power source. That is it, guys. The name of Jesus. Why don't you have a prayer, Bob, and then we'll take everybody off mute and everybody can kind of say whatever they're going to say.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be on the winning side, that you've called us for eternal life victory, that we can walk in this world and deal with this adversary knowing that he's under our feet, that we can use the name of Jesus Christ to back him down. Father, I pray that we recognize the spiritual battle that's going on and deal with it accordingly and not getting all wrapped up into the worldly considerations. So we thank you that you've provided us a tremendous resource, your word, by which we can learn about these things, and that you've given us this gift of Holy Spirit with 9 manifestations by which we can walk victorious in every situation we are faced. So we love you, Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us through Christ. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.